Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. Daryl Baskin, the
future of real estate is now. Welcome to the future of real estate on News Talk KRMG. Daryl Baskin, Tulsa's leading real estate advisor, and his team of specialists share tips and insights on buying and selling homes. Plus, you'll hear from interesting guests on maintaining and improving the home you have now. Daryl Baskin. And now, the host of the Future of Real Estate, Daryl Baskin.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Future of Real Estate, Tulsa's source for local real estate news and information. I'm Daryl Baskin of the Baskin Real Estate Specialist at eXp Realty. And I have three special people in front of me. Stan, including you. Yeah? Yeah? Surprise?
Make that four then.
Oh, four. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, Tim. You're on the side here. You're just on the side. So we've got, what are we covering today? Well, Don Burdick with Tulsa Irish Fest, the very first that we've ever had here. We'll kick the show off with that in just a second. I do have Steve with Murray Electric, and Steve, I didn't tell you what I was going to talk about today because I didn't want to give you too much advance notice, but it's a really, really simple issue having to do with dimmer switches. So there's a right way and a wrong way to install a dimmer switch, and I can tell you two wrong ways to do it. Two.
And only two.
Stan is here for commentary. I went to my emergency locker. Here I have at studio. You don't even have the combination.
I didn't even know it existed.
Yes, there is a special
emergency locker.
Is it
real or virtual? I never know.
It is real. Virtual is real too. It's just virtual.
Oh, okay.
Virtually
this
real.
Is virtual. It's virtually
look
real.
At what I look at what I got out of the locker. This is my stack of emergency content. So we don't know what the rest of the I don't know what the last half of the show is going to be about.
So it's just like every other week.
Where I've not prepared. Actually, Don showed up just like 5 minutes before showtime, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Don.
Your calendar invite system worked
it
perfectly.
It said, yep.
This is what it's like to work with Daryl.
I'm so focused.
I didn't tell you because I didn't want to allow you time to be prepared.
That is true.
So
that is very true.
Keep you on your toes.
That's how we keep spontaneity here on the radio program. And I do spend all my time preparing for clients to do an exceptional job for them when they're buying and selling real estate. So always prepared for that.
Excellent pivot.
That's right. But we do want the radio program to be more spontaneous, conversational, which is why we will accept your texts to 95920. I always forget that number. 95920. Text your question. We've got a lot of extra time today that we will fill with whatever. I don't know. You choose the direction of the show. I'm Daryl Baskin. You're listening to the Future of Real Estate, Tulsa's source for local real estate news and information. Today's program brought to you by TTCU Federal Credit Union, Integrity Title, Murray Electric, and eXp Realty and the Baskin Real Estate Specialist. So, Don Burdick, the first Irish festival that we've had? Is that
I thought it was. So okay. I found out there have been Irish festivals in the past. They went away. And so in my own innocence and presumption, I said, well, I haven't seen one, so this must be the first. So it's certainly the first one I've ever
done. And fraud has to be intentional. So this is not fraud.
No, it's not.
But to a whole new generation who's not attended any past one, this is the first.
I think so.
Okay, so what's going on here with the Irish Fest?
Yeah, so I'll tell you, my wife and I, about 5 years ago, went up to Kansas City for the first time to the Kansas City Irish Fest. a wonderful experience, very family-friendly, lots of music. And we've done that 5 years in a row now. This summer, I'm standing in my office looking out over the downtown Tulsa, and I thought, well, why don't we have one? Exactly. Thank you. You knew what I was thinking. And so I made a couple of phone calls to some buddies. I called a couple of booking agents. I got some positive response, so I just committed to creating this Irish festival, really kind of on a whim, but they're so fun that I just thought Tulsa needs to have one, so I just stepped out and started it.
Let's step away from the Irish festival for just a moment. I want to give you kudos and many of the other people who have been on this program the first 15 minutes when we open with something that is a not-for-profit or bettering the community. This is just how that stuff starts.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, why don't we have one? Well, let's just do it.
Yeah.
It's an organization, a festival, a building, a place. So what are you doing with this now? When is it? What do we expect? And
what's coming up? Oh, yeah. So March 17th, 1 week from today, noon to 9, Guthrie Green, downtown Tulsa.
What a great place to have it.
It's beautiful. Totally free. That's the one thing I wanted this to be, a free festival and a family-friendly festival. St. Patrick's Day has become, in some circles, more of a green beer and a little too much green beer, shall we say?
A party.
A party.
Yeah.
And nothing wrong with a party.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a party. But this one's
I'm not going to take my kids to certain parties.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some are kid-friendly, some are more adult. And so this is a kid-friendly. We've got face painting, balloons. But more than that, what this is really centered on is some amazing Celtic music. I mean, I'm confident that most Tulsans, are not aware of the great Celt grass. You probably never heard that
term.
Never
heard of it.
And just some lyrical new music
coming out.
Is that like
bluegrass?
It's like bluegrass with a Celtic influence.
It is. All right.
In fact, bluegrass has its roots in Irish music. And so there's this new movement of young bringing a Celt grass sound, also some upbeat. We've got a band that's the lead singer, Cameron Russell, reminds me of Bono. I mean, he's got the U2 vibe. So we're going to have some upbeat, high-energy music, some traditional sounds, and if it's successful, if the people of Tulsa like this, I'm already planning for next year.
Well, good. So it's next week.
Next Saturday.
March 17th.
Yes, St. Patrick's Day.
And, I've got to plan 2 days ahead.
Okay.
I got to pull out the green socks and all the other stuff, you know, just that you got to do it right.
Get in the spirit of it.
Dye your hair green.
That's right.
Sorry.
Nine.
I just pictured that.
Wait a minute. Noon to 9.
Noon to 9.
Okay.
Music all day long.
How do you find out more online?
We've got a website, but really most people are using Facebook, it seems like.
Okay.
So Tulsa Irish Fest, go to Facebook, search that, and we are posting stuff every day now.
Good. Well, thanks for doing this. Thanks for bringing it to Tulsa and giving us something to do, and especially something that's family friendly.
Yes.
So that'll give me something to have my kids at. So,
absolutely.
Do you have bus parking?
Sure.
You don't know that joke.
No.
I have a bus.
Okay.
And so I may show up with a short bus with my kids.
With your short kids.
That's right. All right. Well, you're listening to the future of real estate.
We're a bunch of real estate agents. You never know.
But future real estate agents, yes.
Yeah. I've got one of them. Many Thursdays, touring houses.
One of them going out on tour with me. They're one of my kids' future real estate agents. Are you going? You're going to go. We'll talk about it on the break. Yeah.
Not very musical.
Okay. One address, thousands of homes, homeguidetulsa.com. I'm Darrell Baskin with the Baskin Real Estate Specialist. And we're talking to Don Burdick. Before the program, we're just chatting. Okay, what are we going to cover? Well, guess what? Don's in the oil business. That affects my business in real estate. It affects your home value because it's a large part of our economy. We're going to talk to him about what's happening after this. One address, thousands of homes, homeguidetulsa.com. You got any questions for the program today? Go ahead and text us to 95920. It's backwards. What is it? 95920. I'm Darrell Baskin. You're listening to the Future of Real Estate. So, Don Burdick, who was telling us about the first annual Irish Fest, Tulsa Irish Fest, coming next week. Okay, well, said, hey, Don, I've known Don for years. I said, what are you doing today? Well, not today, but like, what kind of business are you up to? Well, Don started an oil company. I'm fascinated by that. Aren't we all fascinated by the oil business and what it's done for Tulsa, our history, and continues to be a large part of our economy? Well, as we were talking, I said, well, I know what the second segment of the program is going to be about, because I want to hear from you. You're in the business every day. You're a small oil company, so you're like the high-risk entrepreneur. Tell me if I'm off base here or anything, but, you know, what's a wildcatter?
You're drilling a well in an area where nobody has proven up oil can be produced there before.
Okay, so maybe you're not there, but this is high risk kind of stuff. We think of oil people as all being rich and whatever. Yeah, you know, we see the successful ones there, but there have been a lot of people that have lost a lot of money over the years, I'm sure, with oil, and we don't hear so much about them because they're not building a big house and they're not, you know, still in business or whatever.
Right.
So what is the state of the oil business, the oil economy, and the way things have changed? And we've had fracking and all, you know, good press, bad press. Everybody's moving to Houston. No, everybody's not. And where are we?
Yeah. So in fact, a great segue into the oil patch. One thing I didn't mention is this, you know, because of my business, and thinking, how do I fund an Irish festival?
Yeah, that's your contacts.
I called my oil patch buddies and said, look, I want to make this free for the community. Can you contribute some funds to make this happen? And so I have 36 companies that do business in Oklahoma, either actual oil companies like mine or the banking institutions, suppliers, lawyers, accountant firms. They've all come in to make this happen. But you know, your question is to, you know, what is the state of the oil business? We've come out of a difficult low, and right now it feels like things are about to be profitable again, but it's always a difficult thing. As we were discussing earlier, I'm drilling my second well for this little company that I've got. This well is 2 miles down into the ground, and then it's a horizontal, it goes 2 miles out. It's a 6-inch hole in the ground, and I'm gonna spend close to $13 million to put a hole in the ground. Let's hope I get something out of it. Otherwise, Daryl, I'll be seeing if I can maybe get a real estate license, get trained, and change professions.
That is hard for me to comprehend of a hole. If I were just, I'm going to get my little smart car,
mm-hmm.
which I'm driving today, which is another funny story in and of itself. Don't you notice people just, they're always annoyed with you when you're driving the smart car stand, don't you think? It's like you don't even belong on the road.
Yes. In fact, I had to tell about a little 7-year-old girl who came out of Come and Go, and I was sitting in the parking lot to stop laughing at my car.
Which is actually my car. But anyway.
Well, I'm sorry. It is actually Daryl's car.
I'm offended.
I got in trouble
by that
one time when I was in politics. Claiming.
Never mind. That's another story. We're already,
I digress a lot.
We're already off the main story, which is
I'm sorry,
driving the smart car 2 miles down the road. So this would be from, say, 51st to 71st down Memorial.
Yeah.
And then we take a right and we go to Sheridan and then to Yale. And this is just one hole.
Imagine a backyard bucket. Your hole is no bigger than the mouth of that bucket that you have just for carrying stuff around the yard. It goes down and out, and that hole had better encounter rock that's got oil in it, or, as I said, I'm going to be shining shoes at the airport or something. It's got to work.
And I'm just always fascinated by it. And, of course, in real estate, we deal with the rights of land, surface rights and mineral rights and what transfers, what doesn't, and somebody, you know, oil rig just shows up on your property, and that's how our state has survived. That's what our economy's been built on. And so there are times when you're like, wait a minute, that's my surface rights. No, my mineral rights trump your surface rights. You know, there's a whole legal process built into this that many people don't ever encounter because they're buying just, you know, in a developed neighborhood or something where all of that's been settled. But it's fascinating. So 2 miles, I mean, somebody can be drilling underneath your property and
you'll never know.
That's right.
You'll never know. Okay. In fact, for perspective, if you look at to downtown Tulsa, look at the BOK Tower, and you say, wow, that is the tallest building, a 50-story building in downtown Oklahoma. Well, if you go from the top of that building to the ground, you're at about 800 feet, give or take. 800 feet. That doesn't even scratch the surface, literally, for what I am doing. And, you know, we are another 10,000 feet below that. So it's just, it's not going to hurt your surface. There's nothing to worry about from that perspective.
Fascinating. But now I can tell. I'm sure some people are screaming at their radios because there's fracking going on.
What?
Explain fracking. And where are we now? What's the latest? I've been a little out of touch and not really paying attention to that thread of the news. Earthquakes, damage. Is it really coming from fracking? No, it's yes, it is. No, it isn't. Where are we?
Yeah, and fracking, what a great word. I mean, we embrace it a little bit, but it's hydraulic fracturing. Fracking sounds like you're cussing or something. But the fracking process, if what that really is. So imagine, again, our little 6-inch hole in the ground down 2 miles, over 2 miles. I'm pumping into that hole a bunch of water and sand at pretty high pressure, and my goal is to crack the rock 100 feet above and 100 feet below my little 6-inch hole. That's fracking. Is it causing an earthquake? No, it's not. What's causing the earthquakes? We've got it figured out. It's when you take a lot of the water, the nasty, high saline water that comes out of the ground.
Which is salt injection. Is this the same as salt injection?
It is. Okay. Or you're on the right track. Layman terms, the water that comes out of this deep ground is nothing you want to drink. It's toxic. So we want to put it back in the deep ground where it belongs. But what has happened is, in Oklahoma in particular, some of the places where that water is pumped back into the ground is near faults. And those faults, if they move like a millimeter or two millimeters, you can get a 3.0, 4.0 earthquake with that little bit of movement. And this water
And that's
can
coming
lubricate.
From the pressure of that or... Not okay. I heard lubrication.
Yeah.
Of that. Okay.
So that little fault now can, if it moves, you're going to feel a tremor. So not a lot's going on, but what we've learned to do, and I think I appreciate the regulatory bodies, the oil patch itself. We've learned to say, all right, certain areas don't want to inject the water there. Let's move them away. Let's monitor the seismicity, and if we have a problem, we're going to shut in the injection well. So that we don't create the earthquakes.
I'm happy to hear this because I had heard something about it on the news and didn't really completely understand it. And, of course, I don't like to just take one news report. You can't even trust the news anymore.
No, you can't.
And so you look for several sources and talking to somebody who's in the business.
Sure.
And what's going on. So that's good, and I guess maybe why it's – fallen
I think
off
it is.
The radar so much?
Well, very simply.
Fracking's not new either.
Fracking's
been happening for a long time.
I worked on drilling rigs in the late 70s, early 80s.
Absolutely.
And to your point, we would finish the hole and then they would log it. And that was always a stressful time for the people. Yeah, well, the people drilling the hole, because we would decide then from the log if we were going to run casing and set it up to be fracked or plug it.
Right,
depending on whether or not it showed any
cut your losses.
Production.
That's like in playing poker. It's like, well, I'm just going to fold.
Drilling contractor, did all right. They got paid either way. It's kind of like a bookie. But it was stressful. I was on several dry holes, but they would set it up and then they would come back in and frack later after we left location. And so they were fracking back in the 70s and beyond.
You're exactly right. So back to real estate. So this involves a lot of land purchases. You got real estate landmen, and they're going out, land persons, whatever we're calling them now. So there's a kind of a commercial aspect to real estate there. But on the economic side, how we're doing, how many jobs we have, how many roughnecks are being hired, and drilling rigs are being produced, drilled, et cetera, or built, I should say. that determines how many houses we're selling.
You bet.
Or how many people are keeping their houses or putting their houses on the market and selling and getting out of town.
So
where are we there?
So you know, and we've seen in Tulsa, we've lost some of the larger publics like SM Energy, Questar shut down their office, Newfield, and you're thinking, what's happening to these people?
Right.
Well, Tulsa, Oklahoma is the hotbed for oil patch entrepreneurs. There are over 40 companies now, just like mine, that employ anywhere from 10 to 25 people and are managing anywhere from 150 million to 700 or larger kind of budget. So you're talking about a, let's do 40 times 300. You're talking about a $12 billion business climate,
pool of money
being invested and controlled by Tulsans. And so let's go back to my
I'm actually not surprised to hear this,
mm-hmm.
because in my world, and I don't see the global perspective as what you would, but I see the one, the two. I'm an oil guy. There are pieces of that puzzle, and they're buying and selling houses.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see that on a grassroots level, then it seems like the business is doing pretty well, and that we aren't suffering from this perceived loss of oil jobs as we had for like a decade.
And the exciting thing, it's really exciting. I love my oil patch brothers and sisters, if you will, because these are entrepreneurs, people like you, Daryl. In fact, I'm sitting here thinking, remembering, I think it was about 1995 that we first met, a couple of young pups out to conquer the world. Were cutting edge
I was 5 years into my business, and
And it's so,
nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose, and just an innovative entrepreneurial guy. Well,
that
same spirit is in the oil patch here now in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Not that it hasn't been before.
Well, it would have to
but
be
it's magnified.
If you're drilling 4 mile holes in the ground, you better be an entrepreneur.
And you're partnering with private equity. Most of these companies are partnering with private equity, but we have skin in the game. We're putting our own money into this. And these people, these are the people you want in your community because they get things done.
Yeah. This is a surprise update. Yes, this was not on my list of things to cover today, but it just turns out that Don's the right guy to talk about. Don Burdick, who is an oil man himself, and one of the, like, this is your second well.
Been second well out of well. This company. Yeah. We started this company in June of 2017. So it's a brand new company. Many of us were at a company called Panther Energy.
Uh-huh.
When we sold to WPX here in town, we actually flew a banner. Our private equity partner flew a banner over the city saying, congratulations, Panther. But nine of us that were at Panther spun off to start Oliphant Energy. That's my company. And the exciting thing is that Panther Energy 2 gave birth to both Oliphant, my company, and Panther Energy 3. So now there are two companies in Tulsa operating as a consequence of a good run at Panther Energy.
Cool to have that update. And next weekend is the Tulsa Irish Fest. Find it online. Go to Facebook. Tulsa Irish Festival or Fest?
Tulsa Irish Fest.
All right. And I'm Daryl Baskin. You're listening to The Future of Real Estate, Tulsa's source for local real estate news and information. Steve with Murray Electric dimmer switches. After this.
News 102.3 Tulsa's 24-hour news, weather, and traffic. The home of the three big things you
register on KRMG.com or the KRMG app.
Want to address thousands of homes? HomeGuideTulsa.com. Got several new ones on the market. I tell you, talk about affordable. 940 East College Street. It's a condominium. It's unit 940. This is just east of Lynn Lane, which is across the street from the, and I don't know the exact name, it's the Broken Arrow Activity Complex that they've built, Broken Arrow Schools. It's the old, I guess it was the Central School. What you know which one I'm talking about.
The old Central High School?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know all the history of the... That's downtown.
Most recently, I believe that was the South Intermediate.
South Intermediate.
Oh,
yeah, there
South
you go.
Because
the Central School, that's... I think the Chamber of Commerce is there on the Rose District downtown.
I'm sorry, North Intermediate.
Okay, thank you. That was just, like, torn down, and it's athletic fields, an activity center, something very useful for the Broken Arrow school system. And what a nice gathering place there, just east of the downtown district, the Rose District. And this is just like one block east of that. So it's right in the center of everything Broken Arrow. It is $68,000, which if you're looking for anything to live in, anywhere for $68,000, the payment on that is going to be so low that we're talking real affordability here. Two bedrooms, one and a half bathrooms. It's a two-level condo. Does have laundry connections in it. Nice little courtyard. So condos generally are a much more carefree style of living. It's less to maintain. You're paying your condo dues. That takes care of paint, roof, etc. And that's what you've got here. 940 East College Street. Pictures are not even posted yet, although the EXP 3D tour is available. As a matter of fact, you're going to have to go to TulsaRealtors.com to find it. I think that's the only place that you're going to be able to locate it right now because it's just now getting through the system. So check that out, HomeGuideTulsa.com. It's 940 East College Street, and we'll have photos on that later this weekend. 2748 East Admiral Boulevard, a ton of traffic on it at this price of $109.5. It's recently been reduced. 2748 East Admiral Boulevard, it actually has four bedrooms and two baths. For a price like this, very difficult to find. We're talking about a couple of places here that are just very value priced, and you want to check them out at HomeGuideTulsa.com. Well, I'm Darrell Baskin. You're listening to The Future of Real Estate, Tulsa's source for local real estate news and information. 20QuestionsForHomeSellers.com, the place you want to go to download the free report, get more information, and find out, before you hire your next real estate agent, find out what their skills are, their experience, their capability, and I've got a free report. 20 questions you must ask your next real estate agent before you sign on the dotted line. You can get that at 20QuestionsForHomeSellers.com. And we'll be talking about that more here later in the program. I'll just cover a couple of them, give you an idea of what we're talking about. You know, you're only hiring a real estate agent once every, what, 5, 7, 10 years? How do you know? Just because somebody has a real estate license doesn't mean they're good at selling houses. It doesn't mean they have a good system that they follow up with things. It doesn't tell you how they advertise. There are lots of questions you want to ask. And to begin that conversation, to help you better understand the process, what you should expect, how to compare and tell the difference, who's going to be right for you. I'm not telling you who's right for you. This report doesn't say this is what you have to have or this is the only way to do it. It begins the conversation so that you can tell what is right for you. What you setting your expectations is what's so important. And trust me, there is a world of difference between real estate agents. 20QuestionsForHomeSellers.com. Go online and check that out. I'm Darrell Baskin. You're listening to The Future of Real Estate, Tulsa source for local real estate news and information. Steve, with Murray Electric, you've been sitting here waiting patiently.
Yes.
And I've not told you what I did. It's kind of embarrassing. But you'll probably... You probably hear stuff like this all the time.
You're not the only one that's done it. People always
You don't even know what
say,
I've said yet.
It doesn't matter because I know...
You've heard it all.
You know how bad it's going to be.
You know, people are embarrassed when they call and say, well, I've got a stupid question. No, you don't. If you don't know the answer, then it's not stupid.
Well, let me tell you my story.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to go ahead and say this was dumb. It was dumb for me because I'm generally mechanically inclined. I've done lots of different things. And I do, unlike the jokes about men who don't follow, read, or ask
read
for directions,
yeah.
I generally check those out, at least a cursory view, to make sure I know what I'm doing. So I had a light that's not been working, and I just assumed it was a light bulb. It was a hideous light fixture. I took an old light fixture from another part of the house, which is a high quality one. Mm-hmm. You know, heavy metal and
brass.
It had brass and it was ugly, but it was pretty. I knew it could be pretty. So anyway, we took the crystals off of it, cleaned them, spray painted it a different color, real pretty, hung it up, put some bulbs in it. It wouldn't come on. And so I thought I must have had it messed up and didn't connect it right in the ceiling. So I pull the fitting off of it, put my little tester up there. There's no electricity coming in. Check the breakers. So that wasn't the I pulled the switch plate off. Just like this had happened before, mm-hmm. I pull the dimmer switch out. There's power coming to the dimmer switch, but in either position of the switch, there's no power coming out. Yeah. So it's a bad dimmer switch. Oh, that's easy. Done that a million times, right? Well, I go buy a dimmer switch. It was a little different than the last one I installed. Mm-hmm. I put it in, get it working, turn the breaker back on. It's all good. Well, except that the switch is reversed. So when it's up, and it's not a three-way.
Right.
So when it's up, it's off. When it's down, I was just so aggravated. I was like, this is the thing that's going to be this way for the next 6 months until I get it fixed. Nope, I'm going to fix it right now. So I go up, flip the breaker off, and turn it over. And great. Okay, now this is where it gets funny. Now the light switch is down, it's off. Light switch is up, it's on. But the little dimmer dial on the side. This isn't the turn kind.
No, it's got a little slide next to it.
Okay. Well, when I slide it all the way up, it's off. And when I slide it all the way down, too annoying. So I take that off and I look at it. It says on the switch, up. And I didn't follow the directions. So that is the ridiculousness of my story of just one simple dimmer switch. Give me, for next time, what are the tricks to dealing with dimmer switches? Because now I have the problem of, with these switches, the in and out and the different colors of wire, I really never have understood it. If it's really simple, I get it, but electricity scares me.
Well, the color coding that you can have on the wires, you might buy a dimmer switch that's got like three, some maybe even four wires on it. And if you're only needing two of those wires to operate your light, the color coding, really, that's where you read the manufacturer's instructions. Because it'll tell you in there, hook this, just for sake of argument, blue wire to the power, and then hook this red wire to your light circuit that you want to turn on, and hook this yellow wire if you've got a remote control. He'll tell you what those wires are for.
And there's no standard is the problem.
No, you got to understand the old dimmers that we had, the old rotary dimmers.
Right.
They had two black wires, and it didn't matter what position they were in. It was going to work because the 120 volts, it doesn't care. There's no polarity in that dimmer switch.
Well, that's where I got confused. So I never was really thinking about the up and down of things.
Right.
So if I go back and read these directions, there's the black wire and there's a white wire coming out of the wall.
Okay.
Is that standard now?
It used to be. They've changed the standards a little bit. When we wired lights, we would take the power to the light box where the light was going to hang. Well, then you had to take the power down to the switch light. Well, you have a piece of Romex that has a white wire and a black wire. Well, you got a problem because they're both going to have power on them. So we had a little ditty that we'd say, down on the white, back on the black. And that way that your connection at the light, you'd be hooking the black wire of the light to a black wire from the switch. The white wire would send power down to the switch.
So now, that was your incoming power.
Yes, that would be your incoming power. Now the NEC has changed its code. You can't put the power in light boxes anymore. It has to be in the switch.
Well, that makes more sense to me. But here's the problem. I've got an old house, maybe, right, that's built in 1920.
Right.
I have a house that's built in the 70s, a house that was just built in 2015. All of these different standards.
Yes.
And if if we're sitting here talking about this on the radio, trying to help somebody through a process, they're going to be lost.
Well, the I can help you a little bit there. If a house was built just recently to what we call the 2017 code, that's where you're going to have all your power in the switch box. Plus, if you have any remodeling, you can figure. It's really easy to tell, because if you open the switch box up and you only have two wires coming in, one Romex coming in, it's old school wiring.
So the power's up at the fixture?
The power is up in the fixture.
Okay.
And if you open the switch box up and you've got two black wires on your switch, connected to your switch, and if you look in the back, you'll see two white wires wire nutted together, that's the new protocol.
I just need to take a class. Or I should call Murray Electric.
Call me. I'll help you out.
You remember, I don't know if you remember the time I called. I was fixing it was like built in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s, and I was trying to repair a little apartment fan switch, and it was a nightmare. It had three switches, but it only had a light and a fan on it.
Fan, yes.
And I was trying to figure out what this big mess of wires was, and I think I melted the breaker. I zapped it, and you know, it was backwards or something. Anyway, you guys came out and took care of it, but those are the things that
that's the problem.
I always expect to run into
people, the do-it-yourselfers. The code changes. 1 minute something's all right, and then the next minute, no, the NEC's changed that rule, and so it's hard for us to keep up to it.
That's why you're licensed.
Yeah, we have classes, and believe it or not, I literally go through the code book periodically, picking topics to look and just read up on them again.
Well, here's why I like to talk about this, because homeowners, there's a certain level of do-it-yourselfer work that many of us can do. And I laugh about some of my stories, but you're good at being on the phone and saying, hey, do I need to have you out to take a look at this? You start explaining something to me, and it's real clear. This is why I like you guys answering the phone. It's real clear. Hey, that's easy. I can take care of this one myself. And other times it's like, nope, this isn't one of those.
I had a guy just this week. He put his own he replaced his own GFI. And I said, well, I can talk you through where the wires are supposed to go and how you're supposed to wire it up. And he said to me, no, I'm not going to mess with it. Why don't you just come out and fix it for
me? Well, that's really what we often end up doing. We want to just do the easy stuff if we know it's really easy. And that's why I like to have these conversations, because even as a home seller or a home buyer, understanding some of the basics of just where do you begin to ask questions, understanding some layman terms, some concepts about what to expect, what to know about your purchase or your sale, helps you get through the process. And that's what having an important, reliable network of professionals through your home sale, home purchase process is all about. And Murray is there for you. I don't care what real estate agent you're using, you have a question about something, pick up the phone and talk to Murray Electric. Steve will answer the phone.
I'll talk to him. If they want me to explain something to a customer about the inspection report, I'll gladly do that.
I mean, we talk about aluminum wiring, Zinsco panels, double tapping.
Right.
What else do we? What else was it that we had?
The biggest one is ungrounded outlets.
Well, you're right. Yeah. That's a big one, and we've had some discussion of the two cables before Romex and bobbin tube. Yeah, and how do you deal with this stuff? So important things. MurrayElectric.com?
MurrayElectric.com.
Okay.
They will reach our webpage. My email address is easy, steve@MurrayElectric.com. And you can email me if you have a question.
A phone call actually works. Steve will answer.
A phone call works better. You know, we're emailing back and forth, and finally it's just, hey, pick up the phone and we can solve this in a couple of minutes.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys so much more than what I say, and that's why I like to use
the
microphone when I do it.
Any kind of question you have, I get calls from people, how do I get a hold of PSO? I got the number right on my desk. I can give them. You know, a lot of people mistake us for, they'll call, hey, I want to get my power turned on. You got to call this number.
Your electric directory.
That's right.
At Murray Electric. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Well, you're listening to The Future of Real Estate, Tulsa's source for local real estate news and information. I'll chat with Stan after this. We got one more break. Okay, good. One address, thousands of homes, homeguidetulsa.com. Stan, give us an update on 6718 South Atlanta Avenue. This is my career listing. I think I've had it for 3 years now.
What seems
okay,
like
not
it,
really.
It's been well over a year. It's a short sale, and that's somewhat not unusual, although most of my short sales I close much quicker than that. But this one, because of its proximity, its location.
It was too high. It was overappraised.
Well, because the appraisal was too high on it, in my opinion. Now, that would differ from the appraiser's opinion, obviously.
Well, yeah, but wait a minute.
But
it was on the market.
Generated that nearly anywhere near that amount.
It was on the market. Wait a minute. Okay, let's talk about opinions. And this is what you need to know. You want to buy or sell a house? It's very difficult to remove, many times, the emotion from a real estate sale or a real estate purchase. And that's what appraisals are to help do, right? But when you have a house that's been on the market for $200,000 for at least 6 months, and then you have an appraisal at the end of that six-month period that's been on the market for $200,000, you have an appraisal come in for $245,000, wait a minute. What is an appraisal supposed to represent? Market value. Correct?
Exactly.
Okay. So if the market didn't produce $200,000, how is it that the numbers can be pieced together to say that it's worth $245,000? Now, I may need to have an appraiser on to explain that one to me. But...
Well, it's an unusual property. If you look at the neighborhood as a whole, though, that number's not bad.
You're right, but here's the issue.
I went in and did comps on it on just that side of the street, and only that side of the street backs up to apartments that back up to Lewis, and I found those comps to be drastically
but
under
$200,000. An appraisal should reasonably reflect that, especially if there's historic data showing that something's been on the market. Now, I don't know.
I had to go back farther than 6 months to get it, but I did just that side of the street.
But you
and
do
if
that.
If you come into the other side of the street and certainly into a block, you get a much different value.
The same thing happens when you're selling a house that backs up to an expressway or on a busy street or
exactly.
Something.
It creates a discount. It lowers the value. And that's the case with this one. Now, but, I do have an offer that we're working with the bank. It's substantially under $200,000, and the bank has agreed to do. Well, first they're reviewing to see if they'll do it. And not
I need that
sale.
Update. Yeah, give me that off the air because I need to pass it along to the buyer.
And then we'll see if they'll do it. You know, if so, they'll do a new appraisal.
Here's what I want to point out here in the conversation.
The bank could very well end up with this house in foreclosure and a sheriff's sale, and then they'll find that it's going
they
to
had
be
a bogus appraisal.
To get what they wanted. Well, in this business, I hate to offend appraisers. Again, the neighborhood can't support that number. It's just that side of the street, it's very difficult to obtain what the neighborhood is worth.
But there you go, and thank you, because appraisers aren't bad. But you have to always remember that that's a person's opinion, a professional's opinion on value based on what? The numbers that they pull up. Well, okay, but a home seller comes to you. Let's just put it at mom and pop home seller. Hey, I got an appraisal for my house, and it says it was worth $350,000. Well, guess what? Your neighbor just sold theirs for $275,000. And there's another one on the market for $260,000. The market's going down. You're not going to get your appraisal. Well, I've had that happen. I'm no miracle worker that. The market is the market. So you have to address the facts of what's in the market. And that's where we get lost sometimes with all of this hocus pocus of prices per square foot and things that can get distracting when you look at where is the market. Is it going up? Is it going down? And you can't buy into one person's opinion if that person's not writing a check to buy the house.
And the real magic of real estate and selling houses is getting houses priced correctly.
Good price, good condition.
That's where good agents come in.
20questionsforhomesellers.com. You know, we can talk about all different aspects. And here's the interesting thing. We can have these hypothetical conversations and talk ourselves into a dead end. Because what really matters is what is applicable to your specific property. Where is it located? How many bedrooms does it have? What square footage? What school district? Is it a one level or is it a two level? Is the master bedroom upstairs or downstairs? Does it have a pool? How much land does it have? There are so many different aspects that create value or actually harm value to a property. It's why it's so dynamic. It's why even with the abundance of information that's available to home sellers, home buyers today, that real estate agents are good, quality real estate agents are so valuable. And this is why making sure you as a buyer or seller have a good quality real estate agent, not someone who just has a license, but someone who knows what it is that you need to be looking for, how to evaluate it, what some of the historical data is, where some of the trends are. That's some of what you can discover when you use the 20 questions report. 20questionsforhomesellers.com. Get it, share it with your friends. This applies all over the country. If you're listening online, download it. 20questionsforhomesellers.com. It's a valuable tool in choosing your next real estate professional. HomeGuideTulsa.com, one address, thousands of homes. I said that I'd cover a couple of questions off the 20questionsforhomesellers.com report. I'm going to skip a few here. You know some of these. Do you have a personal staff? How many are licensed? Did I cover that one recently?
No.
Tim will help me. Do you have Do you have a personal staff, and how many are licensed? Let me talk to you about teams and what's developed. 1993, I started creating my first team. People said, hey, you need to clone yourself. I saw people doing this in other cities. I said, wait a minute. I don't want to wait for my broker to provide something. I need to begin providing a better service, stepping up to the plate. And that's when the team concept was born here in Tulsa. And making sure that when a client called in, they had other people who could help carry the load and everything wasn't dependent on one person. That's why Stan's here. So he can work on the nuances and be specifically focused on a client's needs, and we share that process together. When you're buying and selling, when you're hiring an agent, you don't want one person to be the sole provider of all the information because they stubbed their toe. They need to take a weekend off. They're at another appointment. Make sure there's a staff, somebody who can help out and get information in the hands of other buyers and prospects as soon as possible. That's what it's about. They are your customer when you're selling your home. I'm Darryl Baskin. 20questionsforhomesellers.com. Go online, get it. EXP Realty. Glad to be here with you. Thank you for all your support for so many years.
And you can listen to this excellent show and past excellent shows on our podcast on KRMG.com.
Thank you, Tim. We'll see you next week here on The Future of Real Estate.
From the Ferguson Buick GMC Studios, KRMG-FM Sand Springs, KRMG Tulsa, a Cox Media Group station. News 102.3 Tulsa's 24.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.